My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friend, if I really say to myself, I'm by the love of God going to live for Christ, here's what that means. Paul said, I beg you, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I've got to give myself to God every day as a sacrifice if I truly love Him. So first of all, I'm motivated by God's amazing love to be a Christian. No one's ever loved you like God loves you. Secondly, I'm motivated to become a Christian. I'm a Christian because of the power of Christianity. You know, you think about things of great power, items of great power, and you think about the transformation and the change they can make in a person's life. Friend, nothing is more powerful than the Christian movement. World leaders have been changed. Ideals have been changed. Ideologies, monarchies, kings, rulers have been changed because of the power of Christianity. But more so than that, look at the lives that have been changed by Christ and His teaching. People have gone from the vilest, most ungodly sinners to a life of transformation that gives God the glory. You know, we talk about the power of Christianity. Here are some ways Christianity is powerful. Christianity has the power to overcome this old world. Friend, if you're not careful, and I'm not careful, the world is going to suck us into its trap and take us to that very place we don't want to go. Worldliness is opposed to godliness. James 4, verse 4, the Bible says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or division with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself God's enemy. I can't have the best of both worlds. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 21 through 24, you can't love God and mammon. You just can't do that. Christianity has the power to help me overcome this old world. You know, I think about the world and its appeal. I'm reminded of two people. Take your mind back to Mark chapter 10, and I want you to think about that rich young ruler, a man who had some sense of desire to do God's will. A good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell what you have, give to keep the commandments. He said, all those I've done from my childhood. Jesus then said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And do you remember what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, I believe verse 17? The Bible says that man went away sorrowful. He had great riches. That man didn't fully commit. Think about Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Man had a great crop year, and he said to his soul, so you've got many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry in essence. You remember what God said to him? You fool. This night will your soul be required of you. Friends, the gospel. If I will commit myself to the gospel, I have the power. This is the victory that we have. Even our faith. There's the victory. Our faith in God gives us the victory over the world. 1 John 5, 4, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Secondly, Christianity has the power to overcome sin. Sin has disastrous effects on mankind. Romans 3:23 teaches us it is a universal problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that sin, the Bible says the wages thereof is death. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. The soul who sins shall surely die. Now, think about this. Here's the power of Christianity. The wages of sin leads to a life of death. If continued in, one will spend eternity in hell. But listen to the latter part of Romans 6:23. Here's the power. The wages of sin, yes, it is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But then I want you to notice the power of Christianity as it relates to overcoming death. What is that one thing in this world that people fear the most and yet everybody's going to face? Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. The sad reality is, all of us one day are going to pass from this life. I'm not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. But here's the good news. For the child of God, listen carefully. For the child of God, the day of your death is not the saddest day. It ought to be the happiest day. It is that point which we to go home to be with God. You know, we think of death in the sense of being bad and ugly and dark. And yet for the child of God, we ought to long for the day we die. For you can't get to heaven without dying first. Think about the passages in Scripture that teach us about the power of Christianity to overcome death. I'm reminded of the beautiful words of Jesus at the death of Lazarus. They had called for Jesus. Lazarus was sick. Jesus didn't make it. Lazarus is already dead. He's been dead 4 days. By this time, the text says he stinks by now. You remember John 11, 24 and 25? Jesus then said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." And a dead man who had been in the grave 4 days was raised up. And upon the heels of that, Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me," Jesus said, "he'll never really die." Here's the most beautiful passage, though. Would you take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms with me? I want you to look at Psalm 116 and verse 15. That's Psalm 116, verse 15. Of all the passages that give us comfort in the Bible, at the loss of a loved one, none compares, I believe, with this. Very simple statement. The Scripture says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." How does God view it? When one of His children dies and comes home, God says, that's precious. That's not a bad day. That's not a dark day. It's not the worst day in the world. Friends, for the child of God, it is a home going. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." I'm a Christian because I know through Christ I can overcome death and I can live with God forever. But then I'm a Christian because of Christ. I want you to think for just a moment about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to think about His life. What did Jesus do in coming to this earth? John 17:3, Jesus prayed to the Father, "Restore to me that which we've had from eternity. Out of the ivory palaces," we often sing. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was in the very place we're trying to go. And He left that and came to this earth. But not only did He come to this earth, Jesus lived a perfect life. 1 Peter 2, verse 22 says He committed no guile, no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But as He lived that perfect life, Jesus, the Bible says in Mark 7, verse 37, has done all things well. He went about doing good, healing the sick, helping those who were tormented by evil spirits, feeding the poor. You talk about great humanitarian effort, there it is. But Jesus did all of that in view of His death on the cross. Now, we mentioned it a moment ago, but I want you to think about what the Lord did for me and you. Jesus suffered a horrible death on the cross, agony upon agony, so that I could go to heaven, so that you could go to heaven, and now He's reigning at the right hand of God. Why am I a Christian? Because of Christ and what He did for me and what He did for you on Calvary. God sent His own Son to die for us. Now, friend, I want you to think about two things this morning. As we think about why become a Christian, if you are a child of God, here's what I hope this lesson will do for each of us. I hope I'll be reminded. You know, I know God loves me, but I want you to be reminded on a daily level. Wake up every day remembering just how much God loves you. When you have bad things happen in your life, when you get discouraged, be reminded of the power of Christianity and why it is that you are a Christian. And don't ever lose sight of what Christ did for you on the cross and on this earth. But then, if you're not a Christian, I hope today that you've thought seriously about your own life, that you've thought about God's love, and that you've been reminded the God of heaven loves me more than I'll ever know. That you can see the power in becoming a Christian, that it can change your life, and that in view of all Christ did, you can obey the gospel and become a Christian. Friend, I ask you today, are you living faithfully to the Lord as a Christian? In view of God's love and what it really means to be a Christian, are you living the way you ought to live? And secondly, if you've never obeyed the gospel, I want you to stop for just a minute. And you know if you're not a child of God. We're not picking on anybody. We're not looking at you. Nothing like that. I just want you to think to yourself, why have I not become a Christian? Why have I not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And friend, we ask you today, won't you consider becoming a child of God? Won't you become simply a Christian? Nothing more, nothing less. It's not hard to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that you've got to hear God's Word. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once we've heard that Word, Jesus is the only way of salvation, I then have to believe in Him. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. Having believed, you must repent. That means you've got to turn from your old ways and turn to God. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Having repented, you must make that good confession. The Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what God asks of you. And then having made the good confession, would you be baptized today into water for the forgiveness of your sins? Here's what will happen. You do what they did in Acts chapter 2, and you'll be what they were, just Christians. The call went out, this same Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. They were cut to the heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And here was the answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. Now, what happened to all those people who did that? Oh, I love the words of Acts 2:47. The Lord added to His church daily those who are being saved.